you're what they say you are. Ricky Lee, superstar. Do you think you're what they say you are?
It's showtime with Ricky Lee. Thank you for joining me here on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio, with streaming and podcasts available at huntleyradio.com. One thing we can never get enough of is locally produced family entertainment. Joining me today are Jeff Cook and Elaine Cashmore to discuss a wonderful new filmed entertainment product, Storybook Players. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Hi there.
Hi. Now, let's define for the audience, what is Storybook Players?
All right. So Storybook Players is a part of Theater 121, which is one of the resident companies that performs at the Woodstock Opera House. And it was born of this idea of needing a transition from our COVID time where we couldn't perform our normal main stage productions and trying to think about new ways and new projects that we could do. And in thinking about that and kind of opening up the doors to thinking outside of the box and what else we could do, our task force really thought about a missing niche within our community. And that is theater that is targeted to youth audiences, and specifically for accessibility to families to be able to get that kind of theatrical experience that they may not otherwise have an opportunity to participate in. So from those conversations, we really worked, we thought about different possibilities and ways of making this happen. But what we ended up with is what we call Storybook Players. So we have a troupe of about 15 very veteran theatrical actors, performers, directors that we can kind of pull from to produce different short plays. So right now, our current state is that we're rehearsing these plays virtually over Zoom, keeping everybody safe and really giving an opportunity for people who may not have the flexibility to come to a face-to-face rehearsal multiple times per week. So it also kind of suits the needs of our cast as well. And then we pull them together for one live rehearsal, one face-to-face rehearsal. And then we've been filming at the Woodstock Opera House. And now those films, those programs are available on YouTube and via our Patreon.
Well, exciting, exciting. And who are the players involved?
Jeff, do you want to talk about the troupe?
Yeah. Is it so just to kind of to go back, Ricky, and kind of echo what Elaine was saying, you know, we really identified the need. It was kind of three-pronged. One was a desire for Theater 121 to do children's theater. Mm-hmm. And then the awareness of during the lockdown, all of the, you know, we're all theater people. And so we're all aware of all of the live readings that are happening over Zoom, and the awareness that these were all things for adults by adults, but there were nothing for kids. And the third prong being that nobody was able to go to theater at the time, and the awareness through the task force conversation that that there are some people who just don't have the means or access to ever get to the theater. And so, you know, we wanted to make sure that we wanted to be able to present stuff that that simulated the theater experience for people who might not be able to get it. And so we cast a troupe. We have a task force of six people, and then a troupe of, I think, 16 people. And I don't know if you want me to name them all or if you just want the broad numbers.
If you want to give them recognition on the show, that's great. I love to shout out names, but if that's going to be a tongue twister, we can of course move on.
I feel like it would be a lot of names. I would like to shout out to the task force though, which is Elaine and myself, Roger Zawacki, Shannon Lee Day, Thomas Newman, who kind of for Theater 121 heads up the non-main stage productions, Travis Groil, who is the president of Theater 121, and honorary mention to Jordan Rakitke, who is part of the founding member of the task force, who was really, along with Elaine, one of the driving forces of getting this off the ground and pushing it forward.
Well, those are all some of my favorite people. That's pretty.
Yeah, we've got a great team. Every time we have a meeting, we're all just, it's so fun to work together. We have great ideas, great discussions. We bounce ideas off of each other. And it's really fun to get both like organized, thoughtful people and get them going on their creative juices. So we've been able to really come up with a lot of great ideas and keep moving this project along.
Well, let's talk about ideas. Where do the ideas for your entertainment product come from?
Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things that's very exciting for us as well. So we envisioned at the beginning of this that we'd probably be purchasing rights for different content and shows that we would perform. But as we started to look at what's out there and set some really strict parameters on the scope of what we wanted to accomplish in each show, and knowing that we had to kind of keep a minimal scope in order to produce the number, the volume that we were looking for with our resources, we kind of went, you know what, we can do this ourselves. So we've had troop members and other community members create some of the content. So we did use Princess of the Pea. I don't know the author of that. That was something that we sourced outside of our troop. But Angie Kells and William Roberts have written plays custom for our production troupe. Now Jeff is in the middle of producing a show that he has written. I'm finishing up a couple of scripts. So it's really fun because not only are we pulling from our talent pool for the troupe, but we're also now able to give kind of authors this opportunity to create in this new platform.
Now, Jeff, Elaine mentioned that you're currently producing one that you've written. Take us through the process. You have an idea. Where does it go from there?
Yeah, so it started out, we wanted to make sure that we were able to make this a scalable project, mm-hmm. right? Which is in terms of putting out, you know, a specific number of productions each year. And that's one of the reasons why we opted for the troupe rather than hold auditions, was to save time. Because, you know, in a regular show, you have about 8 weeks, six to eight weeks of pre-production, right? Which includes rehearsals, set building, costumes, and everything that goes into it. We're envisioning maybe a 4 week process, and kind of a rolling 4 week process. So we looked at different ways that we could make this a scalable project. And one was to limit the number of troop members. So though we have 16 troop members, we try to make sure that our casts are no more than six people. That facilitates not only the efficiency of rehearsal time, but also make sure that our troop members aren't being overburdened by, you know, being cast in multiple shows and rehearsals and stuff like that. We're also minimizing sets and costume. So rather than have a full scale costume changes, elaborate wigs and costumes and everything, we want to keep it as simple as possible. All of this is with the purpose of being able to have a lot of flexibility and be able to move quickly. And so the show that I am currently producing is called The Final Quest of Hannah Finch, Witch in Training, which is a mouthful of a title. And it kind of sprang from, you know, we were going to originally do it as a Halloween show. So the first thing you want to do is come up with a concept, right? And we have the task force has come up with a number of different parameters for storytelling and the kind of scripts that we're looking for. And they're either based on a fairy tale, They're based on childhood memories and relatable emotions and feelings that we've all had over time. And so we had done several shows with princesses, but one thing we didn't, we hadn't done witches yet. So I worked with Shannon Lee Day, and her and I came up with the story. We wanted to keep it really simple. And it's about a young witch who is sent on her final quest, and passing it will entitle her to her broomstick and make her a full-fledged witch. And a series of choices that she's forced to make during this quest that reveal things about her past and who she is. And really the moral of the story is to always do what's right, even if you have the power to do what's wrong. And so we always want to make sure that there's some kind of message, you know, for kids, as well as making it fun and entertaining. And, you know, the troupe is so talented that it's just always a good, fun, vibrant time. We hope that we can get it out. We're filming on February 6th. So we're hoping to get it up on our Patreon site shortly after, and then to the world at large after that.
And how long does it take to film one of these stories?
Oh, well, we usually arrive around 11:30 and start filming between noon and 1 o'clock. And it usually takes about 4 or 5 5 hours to film it all. You know, the difference between a play and a film, obviously, is, you know, the play you rehearse and you run it through from beginning to end. We're not necessarily just filming a play and then posting it online. We're making it a hybrid theatrical film project. And, you know, for some shows, we've shot them out of order from the scenes. We can always stop in the middle of the take and take it again if someone flubs a line or something. So it's for the actors have said it's a much different thing than they've ever experienced.
Yeah, it's been a learning process for all of us as we think about how to combine these film aspects, which Jeff has a lot of experience in. Most of our troupe has a lot of theatrical experience, but merging those two together for this very specific purpose has been a really interesting learning opportunity to think differently about how we use our voices, how we use our bodies, the blocking that we have to use and the constraints within that. So it's been fun to learn as a group, and nobody's done this before. This is a new concept for everyone, but we're learning together and getting better at it every time. And it's been a really fun journey to see the growth of the whole organization.
You're listening to It's Showtime with Ricky Lee on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio, with streaming and podcasts available at huntleyradio.com. Today, I'm joined by Jeff Cook and Elaine Cashmore. We're discussing their brilliant family-friendly entertainment videos under the title Storybook Players. So, Elaine, we talked a bit about Jeff's current production for Storybook Players. What about yourself? What you mentioned that you have helmed one of these.
I'm working on one, so I'm finishing up a script that's called Grandma School, and I'll read you the first little bit of it. So this is a kid starting this out, and it fits within the parameters of our scope, where it's a small cast, minimal need for set and costumes, really to allow our imaginations to flow. So it starts off with the kid saying, "Have you ever had one of those days where you thought it was going to be a terrible day, but then it ended up being pretty great? Today was one of those days. I was supposed to go to career day at my grammar school, but instead, I went to grandma school." And so the kids spend the day with grandma, they do projects, and they really learn how you can have an enriched life by your own making. So that's kind of how that one's starting out.
Very good. And so you're in the writing process with that one right now?
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
And what is your schedule for writing? Do you have to work on it every day, only when the ideas come to you? What's your structure there?
Well, I would love to have time to sit down and do one thing at a time, but because all of us have our hands in many different projects, and with Storybook Players, there's a lot of other aspects that we're trying to manage and administer and coordinate. So we all have a lot of different hats that we're wearing and that require a lot of different attention. So for me personally, I don't know how Jeff works, but I know my creativity can't force it. You have to just bridle it when it's available, when you have those moments where you're able to focus and hone in on what you're trying to accomplish.
And now you mentioned that you try to limit the costumes and the sets, mm-hmm. but you do incorporate the use of those. Do you have a resident costumer and set builder, or do you farm those out on individual basis?
I'll be honest. We will take from wherever and whenever we can get. We're fortunate that we have some good relationships with the local high schools and their theater departments and costume departments. We also have some of our troop members have been very generous with costumes that they have stockpiled. Chelsea Hamilton is one of our troop members, and she's from the Lake Geneva area. And she was actually running a theater program up there that got shut down because of COVID. Mm. So she has been very generous in saying, look, I have all these costumes. They're just sitting gathering dust. If you can use any of them, please feel free.
Oh, what a
and
great
resource.
And we
did have William Roberts, who's a very popular and very talented costumer and stylist. And he directed, costumed everything for the production of Sleeping Beauty. So that one you'll probably see the most elaborate costumes that we plan on having in the future, and absolutely beautiful work done. I think we have to approach every project to fit its needs. Some of them we might go with colored t-shirts. Some of them we need a little bit more to indicate these characters and the characters' personalities. So we really just take it show by show and think about what's appropriate.
What are some of the stories that you've done that are available to view now?
So we have released two full productions. So one is called What Happens in the Next 5 Minutes, which was written and directed by Angie Kells. A really sweet, touching story about how we deal with anxiety and what's going to happen and how different people cope with that. So that's beautifully done. And then we also released The Princess and the Pea, so the traditional story, but certainly told in a new, fun, and cute way. And then we have two episodes that are both the Sleeping Beauty that was written and directed by William Roberts. So that is split into two different episodes, one of which has been released. The other one will come out later this month. And because that was longer and we really want to kind of keep these episodes a little bit more bite-sized, a little bit smaller, so we did break that up into two different episodes.
And how long are those episodes? What is your target length?
Between 20 to 30 minutes is our target.
Oh, neat. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, Ricky, when we say released, we have two different outlets. Mm-hmm. One of the purposes of Storybook Players is to provide theatrical experiences, you know, for people who otherwise might not be able to see them. So we have a Patreon account, which is limited in ability to view to patrons. So it's a site. Patreon is a site where people can sign up to support you via a monthly contribution, whether that's $5 or $10 or $1, whatever they. I think we only have $5 or $10. But you know, in return for that, you provide them with exclusive access videos. So when we say release, our first release is on Patreon, and we allow our patrons to be able to view it with their children. for a time before we put it on YouTube. The goal is eventually that these will be posted up on YouTube for anybody to watch for free anywhere that they have internet access. After a time on YouTube, we will pull them back down to our Patreon site so that our patrons have access to the complete library of Storybook Players productions. But like I said, the goal is to make it available for everyone, and it will be available for everyone to watch every episode. So for right now, I think that those episodes that we talked about are available on our Patreon site. And we're starting to roll that out onto YouTube as well.
And mm-hmm. So the Patreon site, if somebody wants to sign up to be a patron, have access to this fantastic entertainment product, how do they do that?
They can go. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say that probably the best way to get that link is on Theater 121's Facebook or website, which is theater121.org. You could certainly go to Patreon and search for the Storybook Players as well. And we can of course, provide you with those links. But all of the information and links to both the YouTube and the Patreon are on our website.
And Jeff, when we were talking about how these go from idea to completion, you mentioned a 4-week production schedule, and you said it was kind of a rolling schedule. Is that the goal, that you are producing one of these every 4 weeks?
So the goal ultimately eventually that is the goal.
We'd love that. Yeah.
produce one a month. Originally, the goal was even more aggressive than that until we actually started doing it. There's no way we can do this. To have one show going into production and one show beginning rehearsals. And then after that show closes, then you go back and start production on that. Again, to Elaine's point, that's primarily driven by the availability of content. One of the things that we've run into in sourcing previously written shows for children are, aside from that most of them are for large casts, mm-hmm. most of the run times are way beyond what we want. But there's also, you know, in theater, you pay for performance rights. So you pay a certain amount based on how many times you're performing the show and what you expect the crowd size to be. For this project, we also run into streaming rights.
Mm.
And you run into some of the film distribution costs. So that's kind of limited our availability to what we can create, and reaching out to other talented writers in the community who might have something in their, you know, desk drawer that they would like to see produced for children. But that's where we are with it. So right now we're probably on a bi-monthly schedule, I think. But eventually hope to get back and do a monthly show.
And really, the sky's the limit for the future for the Storybook Players. You know, we're starting right now. Our current state is that we're doing these Zoom rehearsals and that we're filming them and then distributing them that way. We would love to expand this once we, begin to get that traction and funding in place. You know, we would love to be able to have a live audience as we're recording. We would love to bring our performances out to local libraries, community centers, daycare centers, you know, really bring theater to people. So, you know, that's one of the things that I love about Storybook Players, is we've got a very specific model for what we're looking for. But in being that specific and kind of, I don't want to say narrow, but thoughtful about what we're going to do, it really expands where we can bring this. So I think there's a lot in store for Storybook Players. This is just the tip of the iceberg. We're not going to rush anything. We're going to slowly, methodically, and thoughtfully move forward with the project. I do also want to just take a moment to thank, we were very graciously provided with a grant. So we do always want to thank the Community Foundation for McHenry County, because we were awarded their mission grant this year, and that's helped us as well as we look at filming costs and costs of costumes, equipment, those kinds of things. So that's been a very generous boon for us as well.
Yeah, and that's why we chose to go through the Patreon rather than a pay model where people would pay a certain amount to be able to view each show individually. Mm-hmm. Is that the Patreon allows people who want to support this program, want to support children's theater or community theater, you know, even if they don't necessarily have kids, that they want to sit down in front of their device and watch the shows, they can still contribute to the mission. And so, you know, we think it's a great platform for us to be able to continue to share the mission, to share what we've created, and provide real value, you know, to the community. And put community into community theater.
Yes. Bring the community to us. Let them in.
Yes.
You've been listening to It's Showtime with Ricky Lee on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio. Today, we've been discussing storybook players with Jeff Cook and Alaysha Cashmore. Jeff, how can listeners tune in to view storybook players? Is that through the theater121.org website?
Yes, they can access. Elaine, just to make sure that it's on there.
The links are there. There is a drop down. You'll see a section within the website that says Storybook Players. There's a link to both our Patreon and our YouTube channel.
All right, so go to theater121.org to find out about this project and offer them your support. Jeff, Elaine, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ricky.
Thank you, Ricky.